If you will, turn back to the scripture that the brother just read, Ephesians 2, beginning in verse 11. Ephesians 2 and verse 11. I titled this message, Perfect Peace in Christ Alone. And what I want to look at first is who we were in the eyes of a sovereign God. Look at verse 11. It says, Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, but at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. When you read that, that's plumb frightening to think about it, but we were Gentiles in the flesh. We were dead in trespasses and sins. The Jews even called us uncircumcised dogs. And God's covenant was with the Jews, and we were without Christ. We had no mercy seat. We had no way to God, no hope of salvation, no hope of glory, and no hope of redemption. But then, look at 13. He says, But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. But now, in Christ Jesus, who were sometimes, he's talking to us Gentiles, if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile, were afar off or made nigh, how? By the blood of Christ. That word nigh, it means close. How close are we? 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, now are ye the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ here. If you will, we'll go ahead and read verse 13 one more time. But now in Christ Jesus, who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is, now think about this, this is such a blessing. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Christ, he is the author of peace with God, and he is the giver of peace to his people. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity or the hostility, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. You know, all believers are one, regardless of where we come from or who we are, or what color we are, all believers are one in the body of Christ. In verse 16, it says, And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. He could be talking about his body here where he hung on the cross and where he died for those at whom the Father had placed in him before the foundation of the world. Or he could be talking about the church, and he is the head of the church. He says here in verse 17, And come and preach peace to you which were afar off, speaking of the Gentiles, and then to them that are nigh, speaking of the Jews. And he done this through the apostles. In verse 18, this is one verse right here that really blesses my heart. When you really think about it and then you try to enter into it, to be able to look at the Heavenly Father, the Almighty Sovereign God, and to say, My Father. It says here in verse 18, For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. If we'll turn to Hebrews 4. We have perfect peace in Christ because we can go to our Father at any time through the God-man, for he is our great high priest, Jesus Christ our Lord. the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews. I've heard people say, well, I've made my peace with God. Man can't do that, but Christ Jesus our Lord, He did it. And we go through Him. It says here, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed under the heavens, beginning in verse 14 here, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's a blessing to know that we have a high, that we have a great high priest that we can go to God to, and that he knows what we go through. He knows the infirmities that we have. He knows the hardships, the sufferings. He's done it all because he was 100% man, 100% God. You know, as soon as a sinner trusts Christ, his warfare is over, and God's word says that we are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I thank him for that. I love what he says in Matthew. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. What peace? What person doesn't want peace and rest for their souls? There's none in this world. It's all in Christ. It's all in Christ. We'll read verse 13 again. Go back to your text. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, who were some time afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments attained in ordinances, for to make in himself a twain, one new man. It is such a privilege, it's such an honor to be one of God's elect. It's nothing that we have done, it's nothing that we will do. But we'll go ahead and go to our text. This is not our text. Our text actually is in Isaiah 26. Verses 3 and 4. You know, it says in verse 3, Isaiah 26. We're talking about the peace of God here. Perfect peace in Christ. The Bible says, I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. You know, we live in this flesh, and we have to deal with it. And we live in a very hostile world. And we need Christ each and every step in our walk through this life. God's word says in the book of Proverbs, he says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And we don't, none of us does. We think that 5 minutes from now we're going to be sitting here. You know, it's been a long time ago, 20-some years ago, but I was raised on a farm. My dad got up and went out and done his chores and come in and sat down to eat breakfast. And he went to be with the Lord. He was gone. And then about 3 years later, my mom, she always lay down and went and took a nap at 1 o'clock. She'd done that ever since we were in school. She was getting some age on her. She and my sister spent the night with her. She said, Louie, I'm going to go lay down and take my nap. She went and lay down, took her nap. She usually sleep about an hour. And Louie's, it'd been about an hour and a half, so she thought, well, Mom ain't got up yet. I better go check on her. She left this world. That's how fragile we are. We're just one breath, one heartbeat, regardless of how old we are or how young we are or what kind of health we're in. We're just one breath away from facing our Lord. Then, whenever we talk about the trouble in this life, God's word says that in the book of Job, the man that is born of a woman, that his days are few and full of trouble. Well, look at our text again. It says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. How does God keep us in perfect peace? He says, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. This peace is a matter of faith. If I do not enjoy this peace, and if I'm griping and complaining, it's not the Father's fault. It's not our Lord's fault, but it's our fault because of unbelief. You know, the Christian life is somewhat of a paradox. I believe you, Lord, but help my unbelief. I love you, Lord, but I want to love you more. But God's Word teaches three essential truths about our Lord. You know, in this world, there are so many different, in the world of religion, there's so many different Jesuses out there. But what does God's Word say about him? There's three essential truths about our Lord. And in order for our faith to be strong in our walk through this life, we must keep our eyes upon Christ. What does the Bible say about Christ? He's Almighty God in the flesh. And our Lord, Jesus Christ, is completely sovereign. He's sovereign in creation. He's sovereign in salvation. He's sovereign in providence. That means he's in absolute control of all things. He's sovereign in creation. You know, there's many, many verses in here that talks about him being sovereign in creation, but one of my favorite is in Colossians, verse 16 and 17. It's speaking of our Lord. It says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, wherever it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and it is by him that all things consist. And then he is absolute sovereign in salvation. It's not grace plus works. It's grace alone in Christ Jesus our Lord. One of my favorite verses is Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, where it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Of any sovereign in providence. And it is something that I get upset a lot with myself. I forget it a lot whenever I get out in this world. But he is absolutely sovereign in providence. Nothing happens without his will. It says, and one of my favorite verses that shows this, and there's plenty of them in the scriptures, but it says here in the book of Daniel, and it says, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? That is the God of peace. And then our Lord is infinite in wisdom. If you will, hold your place here and turn to Romans 11. Verses 33. Romans 11, verse 33. It says, O the death of the riches both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. And when the Lord is sovereign, he is perfect in love. His love is perfect. And one of my favorite verses is in Ezekiel, where it speaks of his love toward his people. He says, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was a time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swore unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becomest mine. To have peace, to have His peace, we must keep looking unto You, our Lord, the author and the finisher for our faith. What is perfect peace? It is the peace of Christ. In John 14:27, God's Word says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid." We'll go back to our text here in Isaiah in verse 3. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." It says here in this verse, in our text, it says, "Whose mind is stayed on thee." What does that mean? That means that we keep our mind on Christ. Pray without ceasing to rejoice evermore. You know, and everything give thanks, you know. You know, it's a sign of respect and love to be able to go to our closet and shut the door and get on our knees out of reverence to our Lord and to pour our hearts out to Him. But we can pray to our Lord. We can be driving down the road and we can pray to our Lord. We can be out mowing the yard. We can be a hoe in the garden or doing whatever, you know. Wherever we're at, he can be on our mind. We talk to Him just like we're talking to each other because He's right there with us. I love what Joshua said over in the chapter 1. He said, "Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, wheresoever thou goest." He's right here with us. And I like what it says here in Philippians 4:6. It says, "Be careful." That word "careful" means anxious. And I'm so guilty of this. May God have mercy on me. But He says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto the Lord." We must always remember that God is our refuge and strength, and that He's always near, and that He is always ready. He's always ready to help His children. He's always ready. And may God help us to keep our our minds on Him and not on things of this world. You know, because I'm in this flesh, I am so easily distracted. He don't call me a sheep for nothing, you know. I need a shepherd. I'm like David. The Lord is my shepherd, and I thank God for that. But we get distracted by things of this world. But the more that we look to Christ, the stronger our faith will be, and the stronger our trust will be in Him, and the more that we'll be at peace with our Lord. And the more that we'll be able to handle the circumstances that comes into our lives that are hard to deal with. And we need not let this world or this flesh distract us. You know, I'm going to give an illustration here. You know, to keep our eyes on the Lord and not on things of this world. I was raised on a farm, and it's been a while. It was a long time ago. We worked with mules. And Dad would, whenever we get ready to plow the tobacco or the corn or the garden or whatever, he'd put the harness on the mule, you know, and he'd put that head harness on. And on that head harness, there was cups that come out from that mule's eyes. It was made out of leather. And he went out about 2 inches from his eyes and went like that right there. So that mule, he couldn't see anything over here. He couldn't see anything over here. All he was craned just to go to straight to the end of that row. That's the only thing. I guess you could say he had tunnel vision. I don't know. But anyway, us boys, we would be hauling, and some of you may not know what that is, but that's where we would chop the weeds and stuff out between the plants where the plow couldn't get to. But a mule sometimes would be very easily spooked, you know, and we didn't want him jumping on the tobacco or the potatoes or the corn or whatever, you know. And then binders kept his mind on the end of the row. And that's what we need to do. We need to keep our mind on Christ. And when we find ourselves wondering, we need to ask God to give us a strength, and He will, and give us a peace to overcome the infirmities and the problems that we face in this world. And we will face them. And that's all part of God's plan. It's to draw us away from this world. You know, the Bible says life's like a vapor. It appears for a little while and it's gone. But the things that are not seen are eternal, you know. And in our text here, you know, at the top of my Bible right here, it says a song inciting to confidence in God. You know, our Lord will keep his people in perfect peace, inward peace, and also outward peace. Peace with God, and that peace comes from our Lord. The peace of conscience is peace at all times, under all events, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. Psalms 112:7 says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting the Lord. And that's where our heart needs to be fixed. It needs to be fixed on Christ, regardless of what our situation is. You know, in our text here it says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. That's a long time, isn't it? Forever. Trust in the Lord Jehovah, for he is our everlasting strength. We have perfect peace and trust in Christ. Whenever we trust in the world, like I said, it will be but for a moment because it's confined to this time. But you know, in eternity, there's no such thing as time. We must trust God because he'll last forever. For in the Lord Jehovah, in him, who was and is to come, there is a rock of ages, a firm and lasting foundation for faith and hope to build upon. Those that trust in God shall not only find in him, but receive from him everlasting strength. And that strength comes from our Lord through faith. And I thank God for that. I thank the Lord for that. You know, the Lord is our perfect gift. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, but not of yourselves. It is a gift from God. He was the perfect gift. He was our gift. God gave him to us. I thank him for it. Our hearts are fixed on Christ. We lean on him. We have to lean on him hard in this life sometimes. And the older you get, the harder you're going to lean on him. But we need to lean on him. We need to trust in him. We need to set our affections on him. I do more than what I do. And I have to repent. Oh, I have to repent so many times every day. Oh, God, forgive me. Forgive me for this. Forgive me for that. And you know what? He will, because I'm one of his. I believe that with all my heart. And the reason that I believe that is because that's what his word says. Christ Jesus come into the world to save sinners. So what do I see when I look in the mirror? I don't like to do that because I don't like what I see. I'm not talking about my outside. I'm talking about on the inside. I don't like what I see on the outside either, but I don't like what I see on the inside. But we need to trust in him, set our affections on him. And we should have no faith in his flesh at all. You know, Christ is our all and he's in all. The Lord Jesus Christ is our everlasting strength, and he is that rock that will never move. And he's our hiding place from the storms of this life. And there will be storms. There always will be. And his arms is always around us. His arms is always holding us. And in Christ, we have it all. You know, if you have Christ, you have everything. If you don't have Christ, you don't have nothing. I'd like to read one more piece of scripture, and then I'll finish. It blesses my heart to read this. It's John 10. We're all very familiar with it. But the Lord Jesus Christ said to his sheep, he said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father gave them to me. My Father that gave them to me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You know, when we get down out and we get discouraged, and I know we all do. I know I'm not the only one that ever does that. And we go through trials and tribulations. What we need to do is, what I need to do more of, is to rejoice in the gifts of God, of what he has given us. What he's done for us, what he's doing for us every day, and what he's going to do for us. Well, I pray that that was a blessing, and may God get all of the glory for it. Eddie?